Welcome to Double Take. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today is Tuesday, January 10th, day after the most boring national championship game I've ever seen in my young to medium lifespan.
Yes. Yeah, I was, you know, I said on here I thought that Georgia was going to win. Did not think they were going to win by that much, although it did feel like it had the potential to be a blowout, but not biggest margin of victory in the history of bowl games.
You know, we bashed Oregon a lot in the beginning of the year, and they only lost 49-3 to Georgia.
Right.
So, apologies to Oregon.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know what you do with that, because, like, I still think TCU was a good team. We talked about how they kept winning by the skin of their teeth. I mean, maybe just knowing how to win games doesn't help if you're playing against a team that's that much better.
Yeah, and Georgia was that much better. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. There's kind of a lot and also not a lot going on at the same time. So we're going to talk about mostly probably national championship, but a little bit of baseball, a little bit of soccer, probably a little bit of basketball. Just see where the wind takes us today.
Yeah. So just kind of a bunch of little stories, a bunch of things that are, you know, going on, small things. So we'll just kind of go item by item.
Yeah. And we'll stay with the national championship because my biggest takeaway is Stetson Bennett and people are just my issue with him, because I think he's fine. You know, he's I don't hate him. I don't think he's terrible. He's just not Joe Montana,
sure.
You know, and people, I saw Aaron Murray, who former Georgia quarterback, said he's the best Georgia Bulldog of all time. He's not even the best Georgia player on the team now.
Yes.
Like, it's just absurd. And it takes away from what he's actually doing, which is very impressive. Walk on, transfer junior college, come back to Georgia, be the starter on two national championship teams. That is very impressive, very enduring, and he should be getting credit. But when people say stuff like that, it makes it hard because I want to reel him back to earth.
Right.
But then I'm a hater, you know?
Yes.
I don't think that. It's the same thing with, well, Jimmy Garoppolo is objectively terrible. I mean, think of another, like an NFL example. I'll think of someone in the NFL, but it's like, if we just talk about what he actually is fairly and give him the credit he deserves, then that should be enough.
Yeah, I don't think that you should be a hater for saying that he's not as good as Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
For example.
It's like Herschel Walker is an ultimate don't meet your hero example, but very good football player.
So good at football.
Unbelievably good at football. Yeah. The 1980 Sugar Bowl, just awesome game where he beat Notre Dame, won the national championship. People forget. I would say he's the best running back in college football history. I think there's arguments for Reggie Bush, arguments for Bo Jackson, who I think is the best athlete of all time. So it's not definitive, but I would vote for Herschel Walker.
Yeah, college for sure. And NFL, probably not, although he was obviously a really great NFL running back.
NFL, probably have to say, and we're getting off topic, which is fine, but Adrian Peterson, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, those are the guys I'm thinking more. I just think all those guys have numbers above Herschel Walker. I don't think he's like the best in yards or touchdowns or longevity or any of those things like some of those guys.
In college, though, I would I would vote confidently for Herschel Walker.
Yeah, it would be interesting to break down his career next to Reggie Bush, just because I don't think I've seen a football player be as dominant as Reggie Bush was.
No, in our lifetime, no.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, and that's tough with Herschel Walker because, you know, a lot of it I've watched two Georgia games with him, but a lot of it is highlights. For Reggie Bush, we were watching the full game. Yeah. We were also in junior high.
Yeah, that's true. But the other thing with Reggie Bush is he was on a team with Matt Leinart, who also won a Heisman. Obviously, it's still more of a running team, but you're throwing enough to get your quarterback a touchdown. And I don't know who Herschel Walker's quarterback was, but I don't think he won a Heisman.
He did not.
So, yeah, no. I just have a feeling that And I think Bomani's talked about this. I just have an idea of Herschel Walker running 95% of the plays for Georgia and that being the best thing to do.
Yeah. Why do anything else?
Right.
Right. No, it's just absurd. And again, I don't think Stetson Bennett is even the second best quarterback on his own team. That being said, the walk-on transfer come back to Georgia, didn't have any scholarship offers coming out of high school, and, you know, grinded out to start for two, albeit all-star teams. That's not his fault. That's not his problem.
Yeah.
He's playing on the team he's on, and they won. He didn't lose like other quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo lost for the 49ers.
All right.
Stetson Bennett didn't lose.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think we just don't value college sports as much as we used to. Like, I feel like when we were in even high school, college football was a way bigger deal than the NFL. Obviously, Utah doesn't have an NFL team. But my students don't care about college football at all.
Which is sad.
You know? And, I mean, part of that is Utah and BYU not being in the same conference. But they just really could not care less.
It's really sad. It's really sad. Yeah. So, I don't know.
But yeah, just to say that, like, you know, it's okay for Stetson Bennett to be a great college story, you know?
Very good story.
That's fine. And he should, you know, get free burgers for the rest of his life in Athens. And, you know, he should be a hero in that town. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I would argue he's the ninth best quarterback in the SEC. But he's very good. I would argue Baker Mayfield, you know, walking on and winning the Heisman is that good a story. But Stetson Bennett, like, literally zero offers going to the school he wanted. Oh, Baker Mayfield did that too. I don't know. Storylines, it's top three, if not number one storyline.
Sure.
And again, he played so much. He was better this year than last year. Last year, the national championship, he was like throwing up over himself. It was horrible. Like one of the worst first halves ever.
Uh-huh.
This year he was awesome. That first touchdown run was a fantastic play. Six total touchdowns. Like, you can't just walk into that as good as Georgia. No matter who, you still have to do that as good as your teammates are.
Sure.
That being said, and I tweeted this out earlier today, I counted conservatively, if there was even a question, I didn't count it, 40 Power 5 quarterbacks who could have won the national championship with Georgia. And that's not including group of five quarterbacks. I think the number's higher because, again, if it was like, maybe I didn't even count it.
Sure. Now, are you saying 40 quarterbacks who are better than Stetson Bennett or 40 quarterbacks that you put on that team and they still win the national championship?
Just to be conservative, I said better than Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
I think there are quarterbacks who are worse who still could have won the national championship.
Yes. Well, given what happened yesterday,
yeah,
it would be most all of the quarterbacks.
And Stetson Bennett didn't win, like, that Ohio State game. Like, he played well, but it wasn't like he was like this. There's no game even where he was like the savior. The Missouri game was the only other, like, really close game. He wasn't, you know, he didn't, like, pull it out to win or anything. Georgia just toughed that game out.
Sure.
So, yeah, I guess 40 quarterbacks who are objectively better than Stetson Bennett. I think there are more who, even if you say they're not as good, still could have won. Mm-hmm. Just because Georgia's so good.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and yeah, it's not his fault.
Really, it's a defensive team. Like, how many first-round draft picks did they have last year?
I think 5? I think they had 10 draft picks and 5 first rounders. Let's Google. I actually have no idea.
But I mean, 10 people on your defense that then go to the NFL, and then you come back and your defense is still that good.
Yeah, they had 5 and they were all defensive.
Yeah, so nuts.
And that's not even counting N'Kobe Dean, who was their best player, right, who went in the 3rd round.
Yeah.
But like, if you take Austin Reed at Western Kentucky and put him on Georgia, they could legitimately score 80 points. And if you put Stetson Bennett on Western Kentucky, nobody knows who he is.
Right.
Is my point.
Yeah.
That being said, it's not his fault. You know, Georgia said he could play. Georgia gave him a scholarship. He won the national championship with it. So it's not hating, but let's just be realistic about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And yeah, he has a better resume, quote unquote, just because he has 2 national championships. He also should not have gone to New York. He's not more outstanding. He's not even the most outstanding player on his own offense. And that's what the Heisman is the most outstanding player. If we're taking a Georgia player, it should have been Jalen Carter. defensive tackle or Brock Bowers, the tight end. If we're taking an SEC quarterback, it should have been Hendon Hooker or Bryce Young, the defending Heisman winner, by the way. Drake May could, there's a bunch of people. Anyway, he did not deserve to go to New York. That bugs me. I feel like that was just a cop-out. That being said, good for him. Two national championships.
More national championships than we have.
I just think we should be realistic about what it is.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah. So that's my Stetson Bennett. And I actually, last year, after the national championship, wrote mainly about Stetson Bennett, but it turned into an article about the difference between Alabama and Georgia. Do you remember anything when you read through that?
Ooh, if you would have reminded me before, I would.
Well, I didn't think until just now about it.
Yeah. That was a good article. And so if you want to go through the archives and go back through some of that stuff.
It ended up being probably my favorite article I've ever written, if that makes sense. So you got really into kind of the mindset of both Georgia and Alabama. I might retweet it out just to see, just because kind of like how the transformation that Nick Saban's made offensively, where Georgia hasn't done that, but Georgia's still been able to win. And Stetson Bennett is kind of just the personification of that difference here.
Right.
Georgia has a good shot to repeat. Did you see their schedule in 23?
I have not seen that.
The toughest team is Tennessee. The next toughest team is, I think, Ole Miss is on there. Yeah. Like, they're going to the playoff again.
Right.
So, could be a three-peat.
Yeah.
Which would be fun. Good for Georgia. Do you want to talk about baseball, soccer, basketball, or more football next?
Let's do soccer just to change the pace, and then we'll keep the football people waiting.
A couple MLS transactions we want to talk about. The first one, just for namesake, and then we can talk about some other ones. But this is all MLS stuff for the most part. But Romeo Beckham, David Beckham's son, mm-hmm. who, when we were little, was not supposed to be the best player. His oldest son, Brooklyn, was. But Brooklyn's not playing soccer anymore. But Romeo's going on loan from Inter Miami to Brentford, who is in the Premier League.
Yeah, that seems like a move up. I mean, and because Brentford is, you know, certainly not the worst team in the Premier League.
No, they used to have Eric Christensen or Christiansen or Christensen, whatever. He used to play for them. They beat Manchester United soundly in the first few games of the season. He was only 20 years old. It'd be fun to see him do well. It's probably a lot of pressure. Being David Beckham's son in England is probably as much pressure as anyone's son in the world.
Yeah, yes, I think that's true. It's interesting here just because in the U.S., David Beckham is such a soccer icon for so many years. He was the most famous player in the United States and obviously coming to the United States. And we won't get into this too much, but he gets viewed as coming to the United States at the end of his career and not really being a good player. He was a really great player when he was in the MLS. David Beckham was great, you know, went to MLS Cup with the LA Galaxy. I don't know that he was better than Landon Donovan at that time, but certainly one of the top three players on the team, if not top two. And so I do think the name Beckham in the United States means a lot.
I'm trying to think of a football player who, and he's a fantastic soccer player, the David Beckham, but he is more, and this, again, very good soccer player, but icon-wise, he's top 1%. Like, not soccer-wise, number one, like, from an icon sense, I would say, mm-hmm. even more than Ronaldo and Messi currently, like, in David Beckham's prime.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I'm trying to think of a football player, or even any American athlete who's like that, you know, where it's, they're just so,
Odell Beckham Jr., I think, is a lot like that. Obviously, he was really good, but like David Beckham was really good. He started for Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'd say Beckham was a better player, but yeah, he's, yeah. I don't know. It's tough.
You think David Beckham was better than Odell Beckham?
I do.
Is what you're
saying?
Do
you not?
Well, I mean, Odell Beckham, he was a top five receiver in the league for several years. David Beckham had a longer peak than Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I think, Odell is as good as anybody for that, three-year stretch, four-year stretch or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, David Beckham did for longer, for multiple clubs. Mm-hmm. So, point is, hopefully Romeo does well.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see. A lot of pressure.
Sure. Nothing Nothing against Romeo. I think you're more of a... I don't have anything against David Beckham. I think you're more of a David Beckham guy, particularly when we were younger.
Oh, I think he's awesome. Yeah. I think he's the man, for sure. So I definitely would agree with that. You're just not an English supporter. Like, you don't really care about, like, the royal... I don't either, but you don't really care about the royal family at all. Or, like, any of that stuff.
Yeah, I connect more to our Scottish heritage, I think.
Yeah, I would say I lean more on the English side. Even though I love watching the men's team lose in the World Cup. And the women's team, actually. I think it's funny when they lose as well.
Yeah.
In the World Cup. So, and a Real Salt Lake news, and you know this kid's name more than I do, but Real Salt Lake signed a Colombian dude. I don't know his name. There's honestly not a ton of MLS transfers going on right now.
Right. But this is really, really big deal. Give me just 2 seconds because I don't want to say it wrong. Carlos Andres Gomez. So biggest signing in the history of Real Salt Lake. 20 years old from Colombia. Mostly a right winger, but has played on the left as well. 20 years old. This particular article doesn't say exactly how much we paid. I believe it was between $3 to $4 million. But yeah, I am. It's a good deal. I think he probably ends up being a good player. Is it okay if I complain though?
Yeah, I just remember national podcast. Not, but yeah, go for
it. Sure. Well, I mean, my problem is that Real Salt Lake has had pretty good defense, although maybe not in the last couple of years, but really, really great midfield play, really great wingers, and we haven't had a striker since 2013, maybe 2009. And no matter who we bring in, unless we get a striker that is going to score lots of goals, we're just not going to win, you know? And I mean, if the goal is to win, then that's what we need to be critiquing. And so if we're not getting a guy who comes in and scores, you know, 20, 25 goals, then we're just not going to get where we need to be. Gomez in his last season scored 13 goals, which for a 19-year-old in the Colombian League is very good. Is it good enough to come in and make Real Salt Lake one of the best teams in the Western Conference? It's not.
Well, from a front office ownership dysfunction standpoint, Real Salt Lake is up there comparable with the New York Jets. So
for the last few years, yeah, I like Ryan Smith a lot, and this other owner that we have, I mean, the two of them seem willing to spend the money. This is a sign that they're willing to spend the money. So I am hopeful, but you're right. Certainly the last 5 years, it's been a disaster.
I think the best part of that story is the kids' club in Colombia is called the Millonarios, which is fun.
That is a good name.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Also, Gareth Bale retired. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Gareth Bale? Because he scored the best goal I've ever seen in my life in the Copa del Rey when he was playing for Real Madrid. He kind of, for some reason, at Real Madrid got, I feel like, unfairly judged, even though he was really good and a part of, I believe, 3 Champions League titles there. What are your thoughts on Gareth Bale's career?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a Premier League guy than a La Liga guy, so I didn't get to watch him enough to really tell. It strikes me that he was, you know, in a similar vein to Wayne Rooney, although I think Wayne Rooney was probably a better player, in that I think people gave up on him much too early and started trying to push him away sooner than they probably should have. I think, you know, he certainly got worse throughout his career. I think that, you know, what he was the beginning of his career, what people thought of him right when he got to Real Madrid, I think that's more representative of him than the idea that we have of him in our heads right now. Which is why I think Wayne Rooney, people think of Wayne Rooney as, you know, kind of a washed up player for it feels like half of his career. But, you know, he's England's leading goal scorer. And I think Gareth Bale is, I don't think the best player in Wales history. I think probably top 3.
Would you put Giggs ahead of him?
No.
You would put Ryan Giggs behind Gareth Bale.
Well, Ryan Giggs certainly had a better career.
Well, who's if I'm just curious, if Bale's top three and Giggs isn't ahead of him, who do you have? Are you just thinking kind of generally?
Kind of general, but let me just.
Our cat just climbed under the couch, which I've never seen her do.
Oh, interesting. Good proposal. Well, I don't know. Maybe. I think Ian Rush might be a better player than
Gareth Bale. That's a deep pull.
That is a deep pull. I did have to go on my phone to double check that I knew that name right. But yeah, I think Ian Rush was probably a better player. You know, the Premier League was a little bit different back then. I don't believe that he took Wales to a World Cup. I could be wrong. And Gareth Bale, obviously, I don't think Gareth Bale did get to go to a World Cup.
He played this year.
He played this year. Okay. Yeah. But he wasn't like, he and wasn't leading Wales.
He went to the Euro semis and he did lead them in 2016.
Yes. But yeah, so he was, you know, a big part of the renaissance of the Welsh national team, which I think is really important. And that means a lot to me when I'm judging players, is that I care a lot about the national teams.
Yeah. His last goal, 120 plus minute for LAFC to tie the game and get the penalty. So great game to end on.
Yeah.
For Gareth Bale. So yeah. Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah.
Before we go to baseball, is there any other soccer stuff? The NWSL is a mess. I don't have too many details on that, but.
Oh, I haven't looked at that.
So just four, and I didn't see too much of the details, but four former coaches / trainers got banned for life.
Oh.
I don't think they were going to get hired back anyways.
Okay. Well I mean, sadly, that's not really new. I'm sure that those four people are, but yeah, it is crazy. Like, yeah, go read some of those stories. And, like, it's hard for me to believe that stuff is actually happening. And when I say it's hard for me to believe, I know that it is happening. It just seems crazy.
So outrageous.
Maybe that just shows how sheltered, you know, I am as a man. But it's just so ridiculous. And I think, you know, we probably grew up in a different time where, you know, we grew up cheering for the women's soccer team. And that's probably not the case for these people who own the teams and are even the coaches of the team, really.
Just because, yeah. Yeah, because Mia Hamm, like, we knew Mia Hamm was. She was in those Gatorade commercials with Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
When we were little. North Carolina, I think we've said this before, but Michael Jordan, Lawrence Taylor, and Mia Hamm, that's quite a trio.
That's a really good top three.
You could argue the best three in their respective sports of all time. I think Lawrence Taylor, the other arguments, Jerry Rice. I would say Lawrence Taylor, number one, Jerry Rice, a close number two in football.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue against Lawrence Taylor, that's for sure.
Jerry Rice, as a 49ers fan, is the man. It'd just be hard if I had to pick, not to pick Lawrence Taylor, want him coming off the edge. Like, what a freak he was.
Yeah.
And the Giants had better helmets back then, because it said the Giants instead of just the NY.
Yes.
So that helped.
That is important.
Talk about baseball real quick, shall we?
Yeah, just a couple of transfers, not too many.
The big one is Carlos Correa pending physical, which is very important. Usually that's just an asterisk. This is a big deal. Signed a 6-year, $200 million deal back with the Minnesota Twins. So he signed with the Mets. Well, he signed with the Giants, then within 12 hours of them backing out, signed a Mets deal for 12 years, $315 million. That was before Christmas. So we're like 3 weeks into this. They still hadn't worked out a deal, and just today announced that he was signing with the Twins. So again, pending a physical, but he played there last year. They have as much info on his leg and his medicals as anybody else. Any other deal with any other team, I would be, you know, let's see what happens. But with the Twins, quote unquote, only 6 years, I would be shocked if that doesn't go through.
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, I feel really bad for him because it's a great player. I mean, I know obviously he was in Houston, and so that's obviously a bad thing, but you know, I don't try not to hold grudges and brood against players all their careers. And I also, you know, generally like the Minnesota Twins. I mean, they're certainly not my favorite baseball team, but you know, for those of us who don't know, you and I are Twins.
I guess we don't bring that up that often.
We don't bring it up, yeah, and I guess it's not necessarily obvious in the
I guess that's true
description. So anywho, we're Twins, if you didn't know. And so I kind of vaguely root for the Minnesota Twins. Like, I would prefer them to win as opposed to lose, even though I don't particularly follow them, you know?
Yeah. It's tough because, like, I don't watch any American League just because if I'm watching baseball, it's either the Giants or the Dodgers for the most part.
Right.
But yeah, I think they should be pretty good next year. And I'm interested to see the Mets. You know, obviously, you know, they still have a very good team. I would expect them to be the front runners in the National League East. Here's something I learned reading Willie Mays' autobiography that you gave me. I learned this today. So 1958, the Giants and the Dodgers moved to California. The Mets, when they're made, they're orange and blue because of the Giants and the Dodgers. They were like the two teams that left. They're like replacing them.
Yeah.
Did you know that? You seem like you knew that.
I did know that those were the colors. I have a feeling you probably told me.
Well, I didn't know till today.
Oh, you didn't know till today?
Yeah.
Then I guess not. No, but I feel like I've seen pictures of Giants stuff in blue and orange.
Well, the Giants, they were black and orange, but it's the same logo. I've told you that it's the same NY logo.
Oh, so the Mets are blue for the Dodgers and orange for the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay. That I did not know.
I didn't know until today. Okay. But yeah, so the Mets, that NY, that's the same logo the Giants had when they were in New York. Yeah. And that I've brought up before. Okay. And New York football Giants, because of San Francisco Giants, were in New York as well. Yeah.
So New York had the Yankees and the Giants and the Dodgers at the same time.
Yeah.
That is too many teams. Also,
they had like 23 of the first like 53 World Series were from New York.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean New York has a lot of teams right now, but do you remember when we counted how many teams are in Los Angeles?
Wasn't it like 11 or something?
It was so many. And now they've got a women's soccer team, which they did not have before. So, yeah, they've got like two hockey teams, two basketball teams, two football teams. Why do you need so many teams, Los Angeles? Just cheer for one team.
Yeah.
United as a city.
And it bugs me, like, LAFC fans, same with NYCFC fans, which is a stupid name, bug me so much because you already had two very, especially the Galaxy, two very successful clubs. There's no reason to start cheering for LAFC.
Right.
Other than being a bandwagon fan.
Yeah, no, the Galaxy are like one of the coolest teams in Major League Soccer. I don't like the Galaxy because they're kind of rivals with Real Salt Lake a little bit.
But they had David Beckham, we talked about, Landon Donovan.
Yeah, love Landon Donovan so much.
I would say the best goal scorer. I don't know. I don't think he has a record, but I would say the best, like, if I had to pick one player all time U.S. history to get a goal, I'm picking Landon Donovan.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, well, U.S. soccer, I think he is leading
goals. Is he?
Not Major League Soccer. Chris Wondolowski broke his record for Major League Soccer.
Chris Wondolowski sucks. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Still bitter about Wondolowski missed a sitter in the World Cup, which I'm vaguely still upset about, and Jake is still upset
about. I'm fuming. We should have beat Belgium. Well, because Donovan was left off the roster for Wondolowski. Yeah. It's not like they were on the field together. Like,
Someday we're truly going to have nothing to talk about, and we'll just reminisce about how much we hate Jurgen Klinsmann.
What a waste of a World Cup. Because that was... that's frustrating. Robbie Keane, is Robbie Keane the Galaxy player?
Yes, Robbie Keane.
Roy Keane played for United.
Well, then who plays for Ted Lasso? What's his name?
Oh shoot,
I think that's Roy Keane.
No, Roy Keane played for Manchester United.
Well, then who's the Ted Lasso guy?
Maybe also Roy Keane?
I think his name is Roy, but he's got like a different... Roy Kent.
Roy Kent, yeah.
Roy Kent, who is based off of Roy Keane. I knew it was something real similar.
You know, ironically, both Roy Keane and Robbie Keane are Irish.
Yeah.
But Robbie Keane, I think, for like a three-year stretch, was the best player in Major League Soccer.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, he was very good.
He played for the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason. But it's like, when that was made, that was like one of the original MLS teams. There's no reason not to be a Galaxy fan if you live in Los Angeles.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's stupid. Anyway, what sport haven't we talked about?
We have mentioned basketball, which, you know, we're not going to get too deep into the playoffs. We did, you know, being in Utah, want to mention Donovan's return. Or at least I did.
Donovan is doing way better than he ever did for us, too.
Yeah, man, I tell you, I know Lauri Markkanen's doing good. I know we got all those draft picks. It feels like we made the wrong move.
Yeah, I think Danny Ainge just loves a rebuild, you know? That being said, I don't know if Donovan does that. Maybe the change of scenery is part of what's helping him benefit.
Yeah, and like, you know, I'm one of the biggest Rudy Gobert defenders in the world. Clearly, though, he clogs up the lane, and I would think the problem with Rudy Gobert, the reason that it's going to be hard for him to be on a championship team, is that the offense has to revolve around Rudy Gobert. That doesn't mean he has to score the most points, and it doesn't mean he has to touch the ball, but every single thing you do on offense, you have to be intentional about where you're putting Rudy Gobert and what Rudy Gobert is doing. And so I think he probably does have more options and things he can do being in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And so
because football's over, the college football's over, the NFL's almost over. The only basketball I've watched this season is North Carolina basketball. They're playing Virginia right now. They should not be unranked. I know they lost like a bunch of games early in the year, but they're still 11-5. There's not 25 teams better than North Carolina.
Right. Well, and I do think, weren't four of those games in a row?
They were all very early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were like in, two of them were in like a tournament in Oregon, and then they lost to like Iowa State shot, when they lost to Iowa State shot like 73% from three, and then the rest of the season they're like 33% or something like that, like something ridiculous.
Yeah. Speaking of teams that I hate, I don't know if we were or
think, it's not what we were talking about.
Well, teams that we hate, because I feel like we were talking about hating LAFC, which is why I thought of it.
Yeah.
I hate Iowa State because when we were in college, an Iowa State player jammed poked Eric Meek in the eyes, and that's why we lost the game.
It was a legitimate, like, two-pronged.
Yeah, you can go watch the video. It's like making a peace sign with his hands and sticking it in his face. And it was the second time he attempted. Like, there was another attempt where he was trying to hit him in the face. Like, that was clearly the second time he tried to do that.
Yeah, and that was back when Iowa State had, like, Fred Hoiberg coaching and Georges Niang was on that team and, like, Naz Long or whatever the guard's name was.
Yeah, that
like back in the heyday of Iowa State basketball.
Right. But anyway, with North Carolina, yeah, clearly they're they're gonna go to the tournament and be better. I almost wonder if they've just got a hangover. It's like, hey, we beat Coach K in his final game at Cameron and knocked him out in the Final Four. Like what we don't have to prove anything.
Yeah, well, nothing's gonna be top that. Even a national championship wouldn't top that.
No, it would not.
And B, like, they were always going to lose. They weren't going to go undefeated. Like,
yeah.
So, like, being 11-5, like, it's not, it's annoying they're not in the top 25, but literally, like, last year they were an 8 seed. It literally doesn't matter
at right. all. Well, Virginia, I haven't followed Virginia basketball, but they're 11-3 and they're 13.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that two losses when you've played two extra games would be at minimum, a 12-spot difference.
It shouldn't, like, there's not 25 teams better in the country. It's stupid. And now, like, they're playing this Tremble, the freshman kid, who's been awesome the last few games. Like, it doesn't matter. North Carolina's going to be fine. But, yeah, anyway. That was probably the most sports we've ever talked about in an episode.
Oh, numerically the most sports. Yes, yeah. I do think so.
Ready for the top five?
I'm ready to go, yeah.
Now this, I'm sure I'm missing some, because this is the top five names of cities in the country.
Names of cities. Names not of cities, but names
of cities. Names of cities.
Very good.
Not the top five cities. Like, there are a lot of cities. Sure, I've missed a lot.
Yeah.
So if you have any suggestions, let me know. But this is, I did look, most of these were, like, ones I know. I did have to kind of look at a map for some inspiration, though.
Uh-huh.
Number five is a bit, you would never guess this, ever. But when I explain my reasoning, you'll be okay with it.
Okay.
Is Houston.
Yeah, Houston does seem kind of blah as far as a name.
Yes, but when you think it's named after Sam Houston, who is a baller and was at the Alamo.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Then it gets points.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. Number four is El Dorado Hills, town outside of Sacramento.
City of Gold.
Yeah. I just think it's a fun name.
It's a good name.
You know? Number three, number two, same vein.
Okay.
We're going, you know, ancient Greece. Three's Ithaca, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Two's Athens, Georgia. Really could be 2A, 2B.
Sticking with the Greek stuff.
Yeah, sticking with the Greek stuff.
I like it.
I just think it's cool, you know. Yeah. Could have put Rome in there, but I like the ancient Greek stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think there's at least a couple towns named Rome. Number one, and this is not going to be a surprise, but that's Chapel Hill. what cooler name is Chapel Hill?
It's a good name.
Yeah. So that's top five. I was going for, you know, something either historical like Houston or something like, I guess the ancient Greece ones are cool. El Dorado has, and if you go to Sacramento, it is, I mean, I would say more yellow than golden, but it is just a bunch of hills.
Yeah.
That look, so it's a fitting name, and it's a really nice area of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Kind of up in the hills, close to the, like the foothills a little bit. So it's a cool part, El Dorado Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Chapel Hill, come on.
Chapel Hill's great.
That's just like an American name, yeah. Too.
Yes. Now, I do not have any problems with your list. I do have a couple that I would put in there, probably knock out some of your bottom two. I would need to look at the specific order of yours, but can I give you the ones that I would put in?
Sure.
Okay. So, I didn't know that this was a topic, so I haven't done research, but the ones that immediately come to mind.
I told you about it like 3 days ago.
Well, I forgot. So okay. And I'm going to say, and this will surprise you, Paris, Tennessee, because I'm not really a French guy.
Like France, no.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in visiting Paris. Here's the thing, though. I love the moxie, because someone showed up in Tennessee. It's like, we're going to name this place Paris, and people are going to come here. And I like the attitude.
Just the swagger?
Yeah, the swagger of like, we're going to call this place Paris, and it's going to work.
Just shoot for the moon?
Yes, I love that. So love the attitude. So maybe that's for the founder more than the name, but... the name tells a story for sure.
Okay.
And then the other one we got to put in there, absolutely have to put in there, is Philadelphia literally means brotherly love in Latin.
Speaking of, well, wasn't it a city in Greece? Or did I make that up?
It probably was. I'm sure. Well, actually, it was in Latin, so I don't know that it would have been in Greece. I'm sure it was a city somewhere.
I thought it was like an actual city somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you need to look up specifically where it was. So that's where they get the name. But also, you know, brotherly love, I think that's a good name for a city and a good kind of motto and an attitude for a city to have. And what city, you know, embodies love more than Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, the metropolis of Philadelphia was an ecclesiastical, it was in Turkey.
Oh, Turkey.
If I'm reading this right.
Yeah. I don't know if Paul wrote an epistle there. I believe he traveled there.
You know, what says brotherly love like punching a police horse?
Yeah. Throwing snowballs at Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know, brotherly things. You do them with your brothers.
When we do our TV show, Power Rankings, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is going to be up there.
Yeah.
You haven't watched that. But
I did not see that
one. It is... Charlie Day should have about 12 Golden Globes for act. Like, it is so funny and so well written. That's the show. When there's not lots of big stuff going on, we just kind of talk about some little stuff. So appreciate everyone who's stuck with us. Next week, we'll release it a tiny bit late because I'll be surfing in California, assuming the storms don't get worse out there. Our dad's hometown's getting beat up pretty bad, but I'll be in Southern California. And then on the 25th, Ryan, I actually don't know how to pronounce, it's either Nanny or Nani. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I should find that out.
You should.
But Ryan Nanny/Nani is coming on the show January 25th. So we're excited for that. So that'll be 2 weeks from now. Next week will be a bit later in the week just because I have to fly back from California. Again, appreciate everyone who stuck with us through this. I know it's been quite the road, the windy road, we'll say, but it's been fun. If you haven't given us a 5-star and subscribed, feel free to do so. And we'll talk to you guys next week.